I was looking over the notes for today's deep dive, and it's funny how often the history of science isn't really about those perfect, planned, eureka moments.
Oh, absolutely. It's usually about the happy accidents.
Exactly. The happy accidents. I mean, you look at something like penicillin, right? That was just a moldy petri dish someone forgot about.
Viagra. That was supposed to be a heart medication.
A heart pain drug, of all things. And then, oops, biology just throws this massive curveball.
It shows you something you weren't even looking for.
Right, and that's exactly what we're talking about today. Another one of those huge pivots. We are digging into the story of a compound called tesofensine. Now, if you haven't heard of it, don't feel bad. It's not, something you see on TV commercials. But in the medical community, this thing has generated a ton of buzz.
A ton of buzz, and I think it's fair to say a lot of controversy too.
Yeah, that's the word for it.
It really is. It's such a fascinating case because it sits right at that intersection of incredible promise and, well, significant peril.
Peril, okay.
I mean, on one hand, you have a drug that produced weight loss results that were honestly just staggering. We're talking nearly double what other approved drugs were doing back then.
Which sounds like you found the holy grail of weight loss.
It does. But then on the other hand, you can't just go to your local pharmacy and get a prescription for it. It's stuck in this kind of regulatory limbo.
And that is exactly what we're here to unpack. If this stuff works so well, if the numbers are that good, why isn't it everywhere?
Right.
So our mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We're going to unpack the unique triple threat mechanism of the drug. We'll look at the hard data from the trials, and then we have to talk about the safety concerns that are keeping it on the sidelines.
It's a story about the brain, about obesity, and really about that very fine line between a breakthrough and a risk.
So let's rewind. Let's go to the origin story, because, like we said, nobody set out to invent a weight loss drug here.
No, not at all. Not even close. If you go back to the early 2000s, you had this company, Neurosearch AS, and they're working with the big pharma giant Boehringer Ingelheim. And they're not looking at waistlines, they're looking deep inside the brain.
What were they actually targeting?
They were developing tesofensine to treat neurodegenerative conditions, specifically Parkinson's disease and Alzheimer's disease.
Wow. Okay. So the heavy hitters.
The heaviest. The idea was to help with, the motor symptoms in Parkinson's or the cognitive decline in Alzheimer's. The science seemed sound. They knew these diseases messed with neurotransmitters, so they built a drug to try and rebalance them.
So they go through all the effort, the money, setting up clinical trials, recruiting patients, the whole deal.
Yeah.
And what happened?
It failed.
Ouch.
Just a complete failure. It didn't cure the diseases, didn't really provide enough symptom relief to justify moving forward. By all the normal industry metrics, the drug was a flop.
And that's usually where the story ends, right? The company cuts its losses and the molecule gets put in a freezer somewhere.
Usually, yes, but, and here's that happy accident we were talking about.
Yeah.
The researchers started noticing this weird pattern in the data.
Okay.
They were looking at these patients, and remember, these are mostly older adults with Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, and there was this one very consistent side effect.
They were losing weight.
They were losing weight, and
Yeah.
not just a little bit. When they went back and did a meta-analysis of all those failed trials, they found that patients had lost roughly 4% of their body weight
In how long?
in just 14 weeks.
Wow. And just so we're clear, these people were not on a diet plan. They weren't trying to lose weight.
No lifestyle changes whatsoever, no special diet, no exercise plan. It just happened. It was a side effect of the medication.
That's wild. Losing 4% of your body weight in 3.5 months without even trying. For a 200-pound person, that's 8 pounds just vanishing.
Exactly. And that was the pivot. That one observation changed everything.
Yeah.
They realized that while they hadn't fixed Parkinson's, they might have accidentally discovered a really powerful tool for obesity.
So they basically just relabeled the whole project. But before we get to the new trials, I want to understand the how, because this isn't magic. You called it a triple threat. What is it actually doing in the brain?
Okay, so to get that, we have to talk about brain chemistry. Tesofensine is what's called a triple monoamine reuptake inhibitor.
Okay, that is a mouthful. Triple monoamine reuptake inhibitor. Let's break that down. Inhibitor is stopping something. What's reuptake?
The easiest analogy is to think of a sink. Your brain cells talk to each other by releasing chemicals, neurotransmitters, into the little gap between them called the synapse.
Okay.
Think of that like turning on the faucet. The sink fills up with water, and that's the signal being sent.
Got it. Faucet's on, signal's flowing.
Right. But you can't leave it on forever. So the brain has a drain, a process to reabsorb those chemicals back into the cell so it can use them again. that cleanup process is reuptake.
Ah, I see. So it sends the message, then immediately cleans up so it's ready for the next one.
Precisely. A reuptake inhibitor just plugs the drain.
So the water level rises.
Exactly. It stops those chemicals from being cleaned up so quickly. That means the levels of those neurotransmitters in the synapse stay higher for longer. The signal gets stronger and lasts longer.
Okay, so tazofencine is the drain plug, but you said triple, so it's plugging three different drains.
That's what makes it so unique. It targets three specific neurotransmitters that are kind of the big three for appetite and weight.
All right, let's meet the players. Who's number one?
First up, you've got norepinephrine. Some people know it as noradrenaline. When you boost this, two things tend to happen. It can increase your metabolic rate a bit.
So you burn more calories.
A little, yes. And it also really enhances that feeling of fullness or satiety.
Okay, so that's the energy and fullness signal. Yeah. Got it. Who's player number two?
Number two is serotonin. This is the classic satiety signal. It's the chemical that basically tells your brain, okay, I'm full, we're good here, put the fork down.
So we have a metabolism boost and a stop eating signal. That sounds like a pretty good combo already. What's the third one that makes it special?
The third one is the game changer. It's dopamine.
Ah, the pleasure chemical.
The reward chemical. And this is so critical because, you know, obesity isn't just about being physically hungry. A huge part of it is what scientists call hedonic eating.
Eating for pleasure.
Eating because it feels good, because you're stressed, or because that piece of cake just looks amazing. That's the dopamine system at work.
That's the 10 p.m. raid on the fridge when you're not actually hungry, but your brain just wants something.
Exactly. That's your reward circuit screaming for a hit.
Yeah.
By tweaking dopamine, tazofencine seems to satisfy that reward center, so you don't feel that powerful drive to go get that fix from food.
See, that's what's so interesting to me. So much diet advice is just use more willpower, but it ignores that your brain is sometimes biologically screaming at you to seek out that reward.
It is an absolute biological driver, and the preclinical studies in rodents show this really clearly. It was stimulating specific dopamine D1 receptors and alpha-1 adrenoceptors.
Which is the sciencey way of saying it hits hunger from all three angles.
It speeds up the engine, it tells you the tank is full, and it turns off the little voice in your head that's craving something delicious.
It's a triple threat. And what's interesting is how different that is from, say, the newer GLP-1 drugs people hear about, which mostly work on gut hormones. This is all in the brain.
All in the brain's wiring. Some research even suggests it can directly silence the neurons in the hypothalamus that promote feeding.
So it's not just making a suggestion to stop eating, it's actually flipping a switch in the control center to off.
That's the theory, yeah. It's turning off the command to eat.
Okay, that sounds incredibly powerful, but theory is one thing. Let's talk about the results when they actually gave this to people. They must have run a proper obesity trial, right?
Oh, yeah. They did a big phase 2 clinical trial, and it was published in The Lancet.
Which is a huge deal.
It's one of the top medical journals in the world. When something is in The Lancet, people pay attention.
So set the scene. Who are the test subjects?
They recruited a group of obese patients, so a BMI between 30 and 40, and they tracked them for 24 weeks, about 6 months.
And the results?
So they tested three different doses. The lowest one, 0.25 milligrams, got about 4.5% more weight loss than the placebo group.
Which is pretty decent.
It is, but it gets much better. The middle dose, 0.5 milligrams, that jumped to 9.2% more weight loss.
Wow.
And then the highest dose, the 1.0 milligram dose, that resulted in about 10.6% more weight loss than diet and placebo alone.
10.6%, let's just put that in perspective for a second. If you're 250 pounds, that's a 26-pound loss just from the drug's effect. How did that compare to other drugs at the time?
It just blew them out of the water. That 10.6% figure was nearly double the average weight loss you'd see with other approved obesity drugs back then. It was on a completely different level.
And was that all from just eating less? Or was that metabolism boost you mentioned a big factor?
It's mostly the appetite suppression. People just felt less hungry and ate less.
Yeah.
But they did find slight increases in nighttime energy expenditure and fat oxidation.
So you're literally burning a little more fat in your sleep.
A tiny bit, yeah. But a powerful combination.
Okay, so I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, we have a pill. It works on the brain, it kills cravings, it boosts metabolism, and it produces double the results of its competitors.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds like the end of the story. Why is this not in every pharmacy in the world right now? Why am I not seeing ads for this everywhere?
That's where we hit the wall. Because the journey from amazing results to approved drug is all about the price you pay.
There's always a catch.
You cannot tinker with these powerful brain chemicals without consequences.
What are the side effects?
Well, yeah, the sort of standard stuff you'd expect. Dry mouth, some nausea, constipation, a little insomnia. Annoying, but for most people, not deal breakers.
Right, things people might tolerate if they're seeing real results.
Exactly. But the deal breaker for tesafensine, the thing that made regulators slam on the brakes, was the cardiovascular effect.
Yeah.
The heart. At those high doses, the ones that got that incredible weight loss, they saw increases in resting heart rate of up to 7 or 8 beats per minute.
Okay, hold on. 7 or 8 beats per minute, that doesn't sound like that much. My heart rate goes up way more than that if I just walk up a flight of stairs. Why is that such a red flag?
That's a great question, and it's all about context. When you walk up the stairs, your heart rate spikes, but then it comes back down.
Right, it recovers.
With tesafensine, it was raising the resting heart rate. That means your heart is beating 8 times faster every single minute of every hour of every day, even while you're sleeping.
Ah, I see. So it's like your car is constantly idling too high.
It's a perfect analogy. It's just running high. All the time.
Yeah.
Over a day, that's more than 10,000 extra heartbeats. Over a year, it's millions.
Yeah.
And that puts a constant mechanical strain on the heart muscle. They also saw small increases in blood pressure.
And I'm guessing regulators like the FDA are pretty sensitive to that kind of thing.
Incredibly sensitive. You have to remember the history here. There's a ghost that haunts the obesity drug market, and its name is sibutramine.
Sibutramine.
It was sold as Meridia. It was a popular weight loss drug for years, worked in a similar way. But a huge study eventually showed it increased the risk of heart attacks and strokes. It was pulled from the market everywhere.
So the regulators got burned.
They are extremely risk averse now. When they see a new drug that raises heart rate and blood pressure, alarm bells just go off. They look at that 10% weight loss and they ask, that's great, but is it worth a heart attack 5 years from now?
It's a brutal trade-off. You're treating obesity, which is terrible for the heart, but the treatment itself might also strain the heart.
It's the ultimate medical paradox. Losing that weight would be fantastic for your heart long-term. But if the tool you use to do it is adding its own stress, do the benefits outweigh the risks? The regulators just weren't convinced.
What about abuse? I mean, it's messing with dopamine. Is it addictive?
That was another concern. But interestingly, studies on people who had experience with stimulants suggested the abuse potential was pretty low. It doesn't seem to create that euphoric high.
Mm-hmm.
The roadblock really is and remains the cardiovascular risk.
So where does that leave tesafensine today? Is it just dead in the water? A medical footnote?
Not totally dead, but definitely stuck. You know, that big phase 2 trial was over a decade ago, and it's still not approved in major markets like the U.S. or Europe. That risk-benefit analysis just hasn't tipped in its favor.
But is anyone still working on it?
Oh, yeah. The story's not over. Researchers haven't given up because the results were just too good to ignore. They're looking at creative solutions.
Like what?
Well, for example, combination therapies.
So mixing it with another drug.
Exactly. What if you pair tesafensine with medication that protects the heart? Like a common beta blocker that lowers heart rate.
That makes a ton of sense. You get the gas pedal for weight loss, but you add a better braking system for the heart.
That's the idea. If you can get the benefits while neutralizing the risk, you might finally have a path to approval.
And it feels like even if this specific drug never makes it big, it's already taught us something really important.
It absolutely has. It mapped the territory.
What do you mean by that?
It proved, in humans, that targeting and normalizing low dopamine levels could reveal the biological drivers of obesity. It showed that going after the brain circuitry could produce massive results.
It proved the concept.
It proved the concept. It was a huge so what moment for the field. It basically confirmed that for many people, obesity is deeply tied to the wiring of our brain's reward system.
So wrapping this all up, it feels like we're kind of on the cusp of a whole new way of thinking about weight.
I think we are. Tesafensine is just this perfect messy example. We're getting so much better at tweaking a brain to solve physical problems.
But biology is always a trade-off.
It's always a trade-off. And that's really the whole story here, right? A failed Parkinson's drug becomes this incredibly powerful but risky obesity treatment. But you learn you can't just turn off hunger without turning something else up, in this case, the heart rate.
It leaves you with this really big question to think about. As we get better at creating these kinds of neurodrugs, how do we balance these incredible results, and 10% weight loss is life-changing, with the physiological costs?
That is the multi-billion dollar question. Is a perfect drug even possible, one with zero side effects?
Mm-hmm.
Or is biology always going to demand its price?
Something to think about. There's always more to the story than the headline.
Always.
Well, that wraps up our deep dive on tesafensine. Thank you all for listening. We hope you walk away feeling a little bit smarter. Stay curious, and we'll be back with another deep dive soon.
Goodbye, everyone.
See you next time.